Welcome to the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. I am Jeff Hall, the Senior Editor for Diagnostic Imaging. In our latest podcast, the first of a two-part episode, we'll be discussing the current landscape with AI and reimbursement in radiology. I am pleased to be joined on this podcast by Dr. Lauren Nicola, Dr. Christoph Wald, and Peter Shen. Dr. Nicola is the CEO of Triad Radiology Associates in North Carolina and serves as chair of the Economics Commission for the American College of Radiology. Dr. Wald is an abdominal radiologist at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He is also the chair of the Board of Chancellors for the American College of Radiology. Peter Shen is the global head of commercial operations at Siemens Healthineers, as well as a senior advisor for digitalization and AI at Siemens Healthineers. Now let's get to the questions for the panelists. While there are hundreds of FDA-cleared algorithms in radiology, only a small number have CPT Category 1 codes. From your perspective, what are key contributing factors for this?
So I think probably for the purpose of this conversation, it helps to take one step back and explain the different ways that Medicare pays for things. So there's three main payment policies or programs that Medicare uses. One of them is the Category 1 CPT system in the physician fee schedule. So you can get a Category 1 CPT code that gets a payment assigned at the RUC, and that's how physicians get payment and physician offices get payment. So that's one category. There's another one called the Hospital Outpatient Prospective Payment System, which is how Medicare pays hospitals and facilities. Those are technical only components. So you could have codes that get paid in that system that don't get paid with physician fee schedule Category 1 CPT codes. And then there's a third called the Inpatient Prospective Payment System, which is how Medicare pays for inpatients. All of those three have different ways that CMS can reimburse AI tools and any kind of services, including AI. And there are examples in each one of those that CMS pays for different types of healthcare services. Particularly in the physician fee schedule, there are very few Category 1 CPT codes for AI technology. There's more in the HOPS, in the Hospital Outpatient Prospective Payment System, and there's a handful in the inpatient system as well. But when we talk specifically about the physician fee schedule, which is how doctors get paid for the work, the physician work they do, and they get paid for the technical component in their offices, there's not a lot of them. I think the main reason for that is probably that a lot of the AI algorithms we have now are ways that we can detect findings or triage findings so that it duplicates the payments that already exist in the CPT system. So if you have an algorithm that pays for finding, or I'm sorry, that finds lung nodules, well, CMS already pays us to find lung nodules in the code that already exists for a chest CT, right? So they're not going to make a new CPT code that's going to give us more money for using a software that's going to help us find the lung nodules. Even if it does it faster or better, they generally do not like duplication of work, so they're not going to make a second code for that. So specifically for those detection and triage algorithms, the CPT, system in general doesn't work well for those types of things, for that duplication of work rationale. And if you think about it, it makes sense, right? I mean, we don't pay a surgeon who can do a cholecystectomy faster or better. We don't pay them more or different than we do for one that doesn't. So I think that makes sense, but it's really been a barrier in some ways for these particular detection and triage tools. And so then it becomes, is it a cost of doing business type of thing? Should a practice or a hospital buy it because it makes them more efficient or better or faster, but not necessarily because it's additional physician work?
Maybe I'll add just a little bit to that. I thought it was a phenomenal disentanglement of a very complicated playing field there. I think we're seeing the beginnings of some algorithms that do provide quantitative assessments that would be difficult for physicians to do and which physicians don't routinely do. One example I often like to quote is, for instance, emphysema quantification on a lung CT. It's not that we couldn't do it, but it would take so long for each individual case that it is not done in routine practice. However, it provides an important quantitative gating mechanism for advanced treatments such as, pulmonary valve placement. And in fact, some of those subsequent treatments are now increasingly predicated on the performance of these types of quantitative analysis. So quantitative analysis, AI analysis, is one example of something that physicians would not typically or be easily be doing in clinical practice. And then there's a whole other category that's rising in interest, and that's sort of risk assessment, which I think has multiple interesting angles. So again, it can be predicated on signal that radiologists may not be able to perceive. So whether or not a mammogram, for instance, indicates to an appropriately trained model whether the woman is at risk, at increased risk for having a cancer hiding in that mammogram, has recently been shown to be possible. And that can actually then properly triage patients into care escalation, such as a breast MRI. And so we're beginning to see value add coming from the more advanced algorithms that is no longer just duplication of service, but that holds a promise for to make a real difference for individual patient care, but also for population management.
And just to follow up with what Christoph said, we have actually seen traction for payment for these types of quantitative algorithms from Medicare. It's been more prominent in the hospital outpatient prospective payment system, where there's a something called a New Tech APC payment, where CMS can assign temporary payments for these types of algorithms. And what we've seen is that it really has been these quantitative type algorithms. So assigning a malignancy score to a lung nodule, or quantitative MR characteristics that we can't, as radiologists, see with our eyeballs and do that same type of work. It's extra value, so added value for the patient, and something that we can't do for ourselves. And Medicare has recognized that, okay, there's value here for our beneficiaries that we want to compensate appropriately. So I think Christoph is exactly right that those types of products are what we're seeing actually get reimbursement. Starting in the hospital outpatient prospective system, I think payment system, I think that that will eventually translate into the physician fee schedule with the Category 1 CPT codes.
Yeah, and I was just going to echo both what Dr. Nicole and Dr. Wald have been talking about here. From an industry perspective, the algorithms that we're creating now going forward, especially in this clinical space, are really kind of focused on algorithm-based healthcare services. Yeah, so they're really trying to now create that additional piece of information or clinical information that would be otherwise difficult for that clinician to be able to calculate on their own or discover on their own. So with these different healthcare services now being able to generate kind of that additional clinical information, that provides that added value that the clinician is looking for to make that more informed diagnostic decision.
I was just going to say really quickly, I think this is really important that that we talk about the quantitative algorithms, because it's important that you pair those with the detection algorithms. Because if you think about what we have, what AI has given us is the ability to find more things, right? So we can find all these more things. Well, are we actually doing a good thing for people from a population health standpoint by just finding more lung nodules or finding more thyroid nodules? We're probably not, right? We're actually maybe even causing harm if we just find all these things in isolation. What we really need is to pair that with these other types of quantitative tools that we're seeing more and more of to give us more intricate, more characterization type nodules so that we can really figure out how to do personalized medicine and triage these things in a way that we can actually move the needle in healthcare. So I think it's really important that those two go together. And it's interesting that Medicare has recognized that there's real value in that versus in just the detection algorithms alone.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to add to the discussion is that I'm really encouraged by this trend because the first era of AI technology arriving in imaging, certainly, and probably the same holds true for other areas of medicine, were dominated by engineering solutions to very sort of focused problems. Felt a little bit transactional and felt a little bit out of context to what actually occurs in care. And so I'm very encouraged by probably what is a maturation of the collaboration between industry and physicians to better understand what are the actual problems that we need to solve, and how do individual transactions or multiple transactions that can be carried out by AI, how do they fit into the algorithm of care and value to patients? So it's a little, I think of it as a sort of a realization of design-based thinking in this healthcare approach, where you approach the solution to the problem by better understanding what actually needs to be solved, not by what you can build.
Dr. Nicole, I wanted to get back. You kind of mentioned this in your initial comments, but I wanted to see if you could talk about the different thresholds for CPT Category 1 and CPT Category 3 codes with respect to AI and radiology.
Yes. So, in order to get your Category 3 code, which is really kind of considered experimental or testing, it's a lower threshold to get that type of code converted into a category one code, which is almost ubiquitously assigned a reimbursement in the Medicare system in the physician fee schedule. You have to meet three criteria. One is FDA clearance or FDA approval, so that's kind of bottom tier. And then you have to meet a utilization threshold. So you have to prove that this isn't just something that's done a handful of times in tertiary care centers, but that people are generally doing this procedure across the country. There's no like hard and fast, it has to be X number of times. A lot of that is related to the prevalence of the disease and various other factors. So I wish we could say, okay, you have to say that it's done, 100,000 times, but it's not that clear cut. But you have to prove that there is utilization that meets a threshold. It doesn't have to be standard of care, but it has to be that it's, not a rare or infrequent thing that's done. And then you need literature support. So you need evidence in the literature that this that the procedure is helpful and useful and has good outcomes. And so that those once those things are required, you can submit an application to the CPT panel, and the CPT panel is ultimately the adjudicator on whether that conversion happens. And once a code is approved for category one, then it would go to the RUC, or the RVU Update Committee, which is a committee of the AMA that will make a recommendation to Medicare on what RVU should be assigned to that code. And to your point earlier, we've really only seen a handful of AI algorithms that have been assigned a category one CPT code and a payment in the physician fee schedule. Part of that is what we talked about earlier, that we have to avoid duplication of work, things like that. Some of it is CMS is figuring this out too. So that's kind of all new to them on exactly how to price these things. One logistic problem for radiology specifically, but probably for everyone, there's all these algorithms and they can be paired with a, in a million different ways. So if you think about it just practically, would we have, 10,000 new codes on the scene in the physician fee schedule if we gave an individual CPT code, individual payment to every single one of them? So is there a way to more practically reimburse these in the healthcare system rather than this one-to-one CPT code for every single algorithm, which you may have in a future state, maybe you have 50 that you're reading on a chest CT. You've got 50 different algorithms that are running. Are you going to build 51 CPT codes, the chest CT, and then all those algorithms? Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So that they're trying to probably feel through that as well.
I would just add, we're seeing obviously the emergence of what's called foundation models. Those are sort of multimodal, multifunction models. Multimodal in this context means they can seamlessly move between the pixel, the image space, and the text space, which is what we do as radiologists chiefly. And they're also multifunctional in the sense that they're no longer restrained, at least from a technical perspective, to a single particular output of a particular solution for a particular problem. So it's not that they're just capable of detecting a lung nodule or characterizing that lung nodule. They will also be generally capable of analyzing the lung around it and the mediastinum in the middle and the bones around it and so forth. So while there's currently no clearance mechanism for this with the FDA, a couple of devices for chest X-ray draft reporting have achieved breakthrough designation. So the FDA has at least signaled interest in looking at this more closely. Does not mean they're ever going to get to clearance, but it signals that interest. So I think in a future that we're going to head into in the next coming years, we're going to see a technology that sort of deals with the problem that Lauren just spoke to, in that it provides a more comprehensive assessment of organ systems, diseases, and so forth. So we'll have to wrestle with how well that works, how there's a whole bunch of questions that this opens up. So it's by no means clear whether, how well this technology works and how we can become certain that it is not inferior to our current approach. So we can maybe talk about that later, but I just want to open the lens that the current way technology is made and marketed is probably not how that's going to be in 3 to 5 years from now.
Yeah, so certainly, I think Dr. Wald, you're absolutely correct that the technology is continuing to evolve, and I think as Dr. Nicola kind of mentioned, the FDA is also recognizing that this technology is evolving as well. Yeah, so today I think we've now got over 1,500 different AI algorithms that have been approved by the FDA here for as a medical device here. So kind of that initial threshold that's kind of needed here. as we talk about reimbursement. So these technologies are out there now, and providers are starting to explore them, trying to understand how they fit into that routine clinical workflow here. And so the topics in terms of how does that change the way that we practice medicine, and diagnose patients here is a real important aspect. And then also then subsequently, how do we get paid for those services as well?
I'd like to thank Dr. Lauren Nicola, Dr. Christoph Wald, and Peter Shen for sharing their insights on this topic. I would also like to thank the listeners for joining us in the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. As always, visit diagnosticimaging.com for the latest news and perspectives in radiology.